The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
One of the most successful and significant on-field rugby careers came to an end last weekend. Trailblazing referee Joy Neville hung up her whistle a decade on from hanging up her boots. As a rugby player, she won a Grand Slam, amassed a huge 70 caps. As a referee, she soared to even greater heights, becoming the first female to referee a Pro 14 match, then the first to perform as television match official duties in a major men's international competition. She took charge of the Women's World Cup final in 2017, and to date, she's the only female to be selected for match official duties in a men's Rugby World Cup, which she fulfilled in France last year. Joy Neville, good morning.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just listing those achievements, and they're monumental.
Thanks for that lovely introduction.
I've covered everything, but first of all, I ask you, why now? Why have you decided it's time?
Oh, it's the right time. You know, there's something sweet about being able to go on your own terms. I did it as a player. And the reason why I hung up my boots straight after a Grand Slam, when I probably could have stayed on for another World Cup, and the girls give me grief over it. But it was just to give back to my family. I have four brothers, a mum and dad, and sister-in-laws who've always, you know, supported me and friends. And when you're, in our case, an amateur doing a professional job, you have to commit so much. And obviously every bit was worth it. But you're not there for their moments. And at that point, you know, priorities change. I met my now wife, and then I hung up my boots, and I was plagued about refereeing. And in 8 months later, I started refing. So, but to answer your question, I think we have a young son now. And, you know, whatever commitment's involved as a player, it's significant as a referee. And I'm ready to be at home more. And I don't have regrets looking back and not seeing my young son growing up.
Yeah. So the point is about refereeing at that level. You're going to be travelling here, there and yon. So pretty much every weekend you're going to be missing.
Well, as an Irish person, yes, because you're involved in URC and it's abroad every weekend. Like, I was away over 230 days of the year last year between two World Cups, the women's and men's, and obviously other competitions. So, yeah, it's significant really, Pat.
Now, during your playing career, you were at the mercy of the referee. So I'm wondering, how did you normally interact with the referee? Obviously, you were captain for some of those key matches, and therefore you were the one who would be the spokesperson. Were you cheeky? Were you firm?
Who have you been talking to? I have Fiona Coughlin in the back of my mind. They always slagging me about living on the edge. I remember we had a referee performance manager. He used to come in and he'd look at our games. This was the year that we won the Grand Slam, and he had a massive part in us winning to minimise our penalties. And every time was Joy, you got away with the penalty here, Joy, you know. And the girls used to slag because it was always my name that was highlighted. I think with a certain amount of experience, you know what and how to get away with certain situations. So it's funny. Yeah.
I hear the commentators all the time talking about, you know, it's the picture you show to the referee, particularly in the scrum. So the lads in the front row show something to the referee that indicates they're not the ones who were infringing. It's the other crowd.
Yeah, well, look, it's all about pictures. And if you can show as positive a picture and even more positive than your opposition, you're probably going to win those 50-50s. But as you well know, the scrum is the most difficult area to referee.
Now, when you finished as a player, how come you became a referee? I mean, was it an ambition or was it serendipitous?
No, I never contemplated refereeing. I think there was more a stigma attached to it. I think it's significantly less now, thankfully, because there's so many benefits to it. And I remember I got a call from a guy, Dave McHugh. He had refereed three World Cups. And it was a couple of days after I hung up my boots. And he said, would you be interested in refereeing? And I said, absolutely not. No interest whatsoever. And he said he'd come back to me in a few months. And he did. And I picked up the phone to a guy really high up in the rugby circles. And I just wanted to know because, you know, Pat, when you're going to give it 100%, you want to know what has been achieved and what you want to achieve. And I knew no female had refereed in the All-Ireland League. And I wanted to ask this gentleman, I said, do you think it's possible? I trusted his opinion for a female to referee in the top league in Ireland. He was absolutely not, Joy. And that was back in 2015. And I said, right. And this guy was in his mid-50s. I thought, that's a big statement. So we finished our conversations. I put the phone down. I picked it up to Dave and I said, I'm in. And I suppose, like, we can be one of two people. We can take that opinion at face value and leave it there, or we can be the person who has self-confidence and puts a bloody good plan in place. And thankfully, I refereed that first game a year and a half later. So
yeah, so that was the AIL, but then you went on to even greater things. The difference between refereeing the male game and the female game, are there significant differences?
It depends. I think the biggest difference is there's less cheating in the women's game. They just want to get on and play, and they don't search for those scrum penalties. I think the game has grown significantly, and now what you see is a very, very entertaining game. Most people would say they prefer to see the female international game, that of our male counterparts, because of the speed, the collisions, if not just match that of the male game. But as a referee, you need that credibility. The first 10 minutes, make accurate calls, and you have buy-in by the players. You know, yeah. It has nothing to do with anything else but being fair and being credible with the decisions.
I was wondering, though, in terms of, you know, women refereeing women's game, men refereeing men's game, and then switch it around. You've got a man refereeing a woman's game or a woman refereeing a man's game. Do the players treat you differently, the males, because you're a woman? Are they less cheeky?
No. Absolutely not. Again, I don't think, absolutely not, but I don't think it makes any difference, to be honest. You can concoct something in your own mind. Will you be treated with the same amount of respect? And that's certainly what I did at the very beginning. But what I soon realized was the players, whether they're male or female, they don't care, you know, who the referee is in the middle. Regardless of label, a title, gender, religion, sexuality, it makes no difference. Once in the first 10 minutes, you work hard to make credible calls and accurate calls. And once they see that, it's just creating a platform for the players to play, and you get total buy-in.
Yeah. The problem, I suppose, for all refs nowadays is that you've got the television match official and you can be second-guessed. You know, it's very interesting to see the way some refs call it. They say, I have a try here. Is there anything you can see that makes it other? Or some of them ask for a more general verdict from the television match official. So, they protect themselves by not committing.
Do you know the technology? It's grown so much. It's a double-edged sword. It's a great thing and it's an awful thing, because you now have so many camera angles. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And certainly one thing that I learned going into this game from an aspect of a player is there's room for error as a player. You know, you miss a tackle, your teammates pick you up and go next one, you know, and post-match analysis. Yeah, it's, you know, there is a realistic expectation that, you know, we will knock on a ball or miss a tackle. But as a match official, there is this unfair, unrealistic expectation that we're going to get everything right and we're going to make accurate calls for 80 minutes, but it's not really possible, you know.
Yeah.
And the technology does help us, but the technology completely throws us under the bus at times as well.
Well, it's all over as far as you're concerned. You've retired. But what next for you?
I'm just really excited and happy. Again, I've got to make this call on my own terms. I've had some amazing times. I've met some amazing people and had massive support by my own Irish colleagues, family and friends. And I'm ready to spend time with those people who've been so supportive in everything that I've achieved. It's because of them and being able to lean on their shoulders for advice. I'm after recently being given an opportunity to come in with World Rugby as the head coach of the Elite Female Referees. And I'm passionate about giving back and supporting the new talents, the talent that's there currently, and with the aim of identifying and creating better pathways and supporting and developing the current referees that are already in place.
Joy, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on surviving two careers as a rugby player and as a referee.
Thank you,
and
Pat.
We look forward to all your future endeavours.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.